because you are the King of peace and the Savior of our souls.
Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, my dear listeners. Today is August the 12th, 2014. Among all other duties that I have, it's not easy for me to be very continuous in this radio program, but I will try whenever I find a free day, free evening, to continue to talk with you and to tell you about my life, and through my life to touch all other sides of a common young man's life as I was, and his search and his pursuit for living God, for real and deep spiritual fulfillment. So finally, I found myself on Holy Mountain, Holy Mount Athos, in Greece, and that way I fulfilled my old desire to get there, and not only to get there, but to celebrate my 33rd birthday, because the Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, He was 33 when He was crucified and killed, died and resurrected. So secretly in my heart I wanted to be there for my 33rd birthday, but of course I thought it's not going to be possible. But it was possible. Everything is possible when man wishes something from the depth of his heart, and of course when he asks for it from the living God. So I arrived at Monastery Philotheo, Greek monastery, which was old monastery with a pretty big brotherhood. I think at that time, 1993, there was close to 80 brothers, which was a pretty big number for today's Orthodox Christian monasteries, and it was a very serious spiritual family. At least half of the brotherhood, or even more than half, were mature men, over 50. And the interesting thing is that their spiritual father at that time was Father Ephrem, Elder Ephrem, as they used to call a spiritual elder, experienced monk, who is today in his 80s, I think close to 90, and today he lives in United States, in Arizona, in the monastery of St. Anthony, in Arizona's desert. But at that time, he was still on Mount Athos, And as a very serious monk who was following the real tradition of Orthodox Christian monasticism, he taught his disciples, his children and God, to perform Jesus' prayer all the time, unceasing Jesus' prayer, which is performed orally, but not very loud, just to hear yourself. And it was interesting, it was like a bee house. More than 70 men were murmuring Jesus' prayer, and it was like all of them were like bees, flying around, repeating Jesus' prayer, and collecting spiritual honey from it. It was something really new for me to realize that even today, monks live as they used to live centuries ago. Of course, in that monastery, everybody was repeating silently Jesus' prayer. But that doesn't mean that you couldn't converse with anybody of them. Of course you could. If you needed something, if I needed something, I would address to anybody of them, and they would immediately stop praying, and with a nice and polite countenance, they would ask how they can help me. And they would talk as long as it was necessary to tell me what I had to know, to help me in whatever matter. And then, when the task was fulfilled, when there was no need for talking or helping me anymore, they would continue to murmur their Jesus prayer. And this was, for somebody from outside, it could look a little bit weird, but it's not. It is only a Lord's commandment from Gospel and from the epistles, from apostolic epistles, from St. Apostle Paul, when he says, pray without ceasing. And this was really the fulfillment of the very Gospel. And this continuous repeating of Jesus' prayer is very precious and very helpful in combat with our passions and with our thoughts that they are usually torturing us with their very often poisonous content. So, as the Holy Fathers say, repeat your prayer all the time and you will protect yourself from the demonical influence which is non-stop. So, in the same way as God is radiating His love and His grace towards whole creation, in the same manner, although not the same manner, but in a similar way, the demons are influencing and attacking our minds with their poisonous radiation, trying to seduce us and to make us perform their will in a form of various passions and evil deeds. So when we are not cautious and when we go after our thoughts that they are coming every second in our mind, very often we're going after them, following them, we fall into passions, we fall into sin, we fall into many bad things which we perform against ourselves and against others. So when a Christian is repeating Jesus' prayer particularly all the time, he's protected. He builds up a kind of a shield, spiritual shield around him, so he's protected from the burning arrows from the demons. So those people over there were doing this all the time, and they were very tranquil, they were very joyful, they were very polite, full of love, but they were also very serious, because they knew in how hard combat they live and they are. So trying to resemble them, I started to do the same thing, and I have seen how beautiful it was and how helpful it was fighting my fears, my doubts, my dilemmas and worries that I used to carry in myself in those years of mine, because I was just entering monastic life, leaving the world, fighting with all my weaknesses and passions that I was carrying as a burden on myself from my past life, which lasted 31 years before I left it. So it was not easy for me at all, as it was not easy to any novice that enters a monastery, and in the same way as any other Christian who wants to conquer his weaknesses and his passions. So this small, beautiful, short prayer helped me a lot to acquire a peace of my heart and not to feel sorrow or fear or whatever else was attacking me all the time. But since there was a Serbian monastery as well on Mount Athos, and since I haven't been in my homeland for more than 6 years, I was longing to visit a Serbian monastery called Hilandar, to go there and to see Brotherhood and this holy place, thinking and trying to make decision where I am going to stay, because at that time I was planning to stay for good on Mount Athos. So after about 10 days being in Monastery of Filotheu, I asked Father Superior for a blessing and for permission to go to Serbian monastery and to stay there for a while. And he said, of course, Brother Alexander, you are free to go there and just call us, announce yourself when you plan to come back for us to pick you up in Karijas. And I said, beautiful, thank you very much. So I set on my way towards Monastery of Hilandar. It was a pretty big distance between those two monasteries, and people usually go by car. But since I was still young at that time, I was 31, and in good shape, in good condition, young, strong, healthy, I was planning. I wanted to go there by foot, which was not small distance at all. And I think it took me about 7 hours walking from one part of that peninsula to another, where was a site of Monastery of Hilandar. So I remember this trip as one of the most beautiful parts of my life, walking through Mount Athos, this Mediterranean region with plenty of very fragrant, aromatic plants and grass, sometimes meeting monks, young, old, sometimes seeing small hermitages, small monasteries called skit, and just getting familiar with this holy land. And I was praying all the time, and I can say I was almost like in paradise. I was full of God's grace, and it was so beautiful for me to walk through those forest paths. But I forgot to say and to mention and to talk about one very important event that happened in Holy Monastery of Filotheu, which really stigmatized my life. So since I was not yet healed completely from my fears and from my inability to pray incessantly, although I was greatly helped and supported by Elder Ephrem when I met him in New York, Queens, Greek Cathedral. But as I mentioned, and if you remember from my previous radio shows, that I was healed but incomplete, and just gave me the strength to proceed forward and to continue with my combat, with my fears and my demons that they were torturing me, but I was not healed yet. So, of course, I wanted to talk to Father Ephrem when I came to monastery, but he was very busy for 4 or 5 days, and then a feast day came, dedicated to Saint Cosma of Etel. He was a Filotheu monk who became great missionary in Greek land during the Turkish yoke. And he was very famous, and he is very famous among Greek people, because he was great enlightener and teacher and missionary through Greek lands and Greek folk. And he was teaching them to preserve, to protect, to defend, and to keep their Orthodox faith in those very hard days during the Turkish occupation and forcing Orthodox Christians all over Balkans to receive Islam. So as he was a Filotheu monk, he was very much celebrated in the monastery, and this feast day was dedicated to him. So as it is common in Orthodox Christianity, at the evening and the night before the feast day, we have a vigil service. And it really depends on experience and the number of the brotherhood of a certain monastery. So sometimes it takes only 3-4 hours, but sometimes it can last much longer, sometimes whole night. So this was the one of those longest and real vigil services like they perform on Mount Athos. And something, this was of course the longest vigil service that I attended in my life. It started, I think, about 5 o'clock p.m. and it lasted until 8 o'clock in the morning next day. So it was like 15 hours altogether. And it was like a real Christian celebration. It was like all-night monastic party. And it was really beautiful. Although not very easy to stay all night. Of course, not to stand, but to be there and to endure it. But God gave me enough strength. I was still young and full of grace, full of that beginner's grace. So I could stand long, and although the sleepiness was overcoming me, but I was fighting with it, and I made it not to leave the church in full 15 hours. And it was really beautiful. A lot of very good chanters from all over Mount Athos. And that usually happens when a certain monastery celebrates some holy day or a feast day. Then from all around, monks come, especially those good chanters. And they come and chant. They really try to beautify the whole event. And of course, usually they are coming from, not from big monasteries, but they are coming from hermitages or from skits or from cells, as they call them. So sometimes they live alone, or sometimes they live just with a few brothers. And of course, they are not rich. They're very poor, as a matter of fact. And but they don't bother with it. They don't need wealth, money, or electronic devices. They just need to get dressed, eat, and to have roof above their heads. So of course, when they come to sing all night vigil, to chant, in the morning they receive some food, or even sometimes they receive a small amount of money. And it's good for them, and it's good for the monastery who celebrates. So it was really beautiful. I couldn't believe that something like this really exists in the world. The whole service was so, it was performed in such a perfect manner. They know everything, how it goes, when the candles are lit, when the candles are turned off, when the great chandelier called polyeleos has to be moved and turned around. And the whole thing, like only Greeks know to do, because they really enjoy the feast days. And especially the monks on Mount Athos, they perform it in a really beautiful and solemn way. So I was like, I didn't know if I am on earth or in heavens. But still, I had this problem that I couldn't pray unceasingly. And I was still sad and in some kind of bad mood, bad feeling that I'm still, in a way, slave of certain evil power, that I couldn't conquer it, that something was stronger than me. And it is a very, very bad feeling. Many people in the world would go immediately straight to a psychiatrist to talk to him and to take psychoactive drugs. But I knew that it's a spiritual matter. And since it's a spiritual, I knew that the Lord, who is Supreme Spirit, can help me. But he's only waiting for a right moment for it. So I knew that I had to endure, to continue, and to suffer, but to be joyous. Because I knew that the Lord is watching me. He's watching my fight, my faith, and he's watching if I'm fervent or not.
Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life.
So it happened that I asked one of the priest monks, would it be possible for me to meet Elder Ephrem? And one of those priest monks approached to my place where I was standing in the church, and he told me that Father Ephrem is now available to receive me. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. So I was, I almost jumped from my seat out of joy, being finally able to approach great elder and to talk to him. So he told me to follow him. So we went out of the main church, but it was in the same building. So we went around, and it was like a small chapel. Paraklesis, as Greeks say. It was like a small church in the same building of the church, but it was just a side small church with an altar. And so when I entered there, the light was dimmed, only a few oil lamps were burning, so it was almost dark, but I could see everything, and it was so nice, calm, and I must admit, somehow mystical to me. And the Father Ephrem was sitting on a low chair, and he had epitrachilion, which is it's a special piece of cloth that priests are wearing when they are during the service, and it comes around their neck. And he had a prayer rope in his right hand. He was praying. So when I approached, the Greek priest monk told him in Greek that I am a Serbian novice from the United States, and I would like to talk to him. But this priest monk was American Greek, and he was supposed to be my translator in this moment. So Father Ephrem said, okay, my child, come closer and tell me what you want to tell me and what you want to know. So it was not easy to me to explain exactly what has happened with me, because I tried that to utter to great elder when we met first time in Otto's Greek Cathedral in Queens, New York. So he remembered me, he told me that, and he asked me, how are you now? I said, elder, better, but not good yet, not yet good enough. And I told him that I have this very specific and almost and definitely diabolical problem, that whenever I intend to pray, I have these terrible feelings and sensations. First, it starts to buzz in my ears. Then, my throat starts to hurt and to burn. Then, my stomach starts to gurgle and to ache. And then, finally, the headache, which can become very strong. And in the same time, the fear starts to fill my heart, and thoughts which are telling me, do not pray. If you continue to pray, we will destroy you. So when I managed to explain this to Father Ephrem, for a few seconds he was silent, and then he asked me, "Brother Alexander, do you want to be obedient to me?" I said, "Elder, that's why I came here." And he said, "Then listen to me good, listen to me well. From this moment on, you will continue to pray as you used to pray before this started to happen to you. Pray without ceasing, no matter what happens to you. Even if blood started to gush from your throat, even if headache starts to be so strong that you are going to faint, do not stop, because it's not real, it's diabolical, it's fake, although it really affects you, but it's not really something which is connected with your physiology, something that can really hurt you. Do not cease with prayer, do not stop praying." And I said, "But Elder, you know it's very strong, I'm afraid." He said, "Brother Alexander, didn't you just tell me that you are going to be obedient to me? Are you going to be obedient to me? I'm asking you for the last time." I said, "Yes, Father. Yes, Elder. I am going to be obedient. I want to be obedient to you. And I will. I shall be obedient to you." And he said, "Then just fulfill what I have told you. Pray without ceasing, no matter what happens to you." And I responded, as it is common in monastic life, I said, "May it be blessed, Father." So I kissed his hand, I did prostration in front of him, and I went back to the church for the service. I went back and the singing was on, everything was, all the candles were lit. They were chanting those hymns to Holy Theotokos, the Mother of Lord, Virgin Mary. And it was a very solemn moment of the whole service. It was around 4 o'clock in the morning. So I went back to my wooden seat, as Greeks call it. It's called stasidia. It's a very narrow wooden seat or chair, which seat is movable. You can lift it up and lower it down. So when you lower it down, you can sit on it. And when you lift it up, you can stand. And there is also a little seat that you can just slightly sit on it. But it's something between sitting and standing for those who like to stand, but it's not easy to stand all the time. It's very useful. It is common for Orthodox Christian monasteries, because to stand during the prayer, it brings great benefit, because it keeps you awake. And whenever we sit down, as they do in Roman Catholic or Protestant churches, it's very easy to fall in a light slumber, and sleep and prayer doesn't go together. It's absolutely opposite. So we try to stand all the time in prayer, or if it is too tiring, we sit, but we do not lean on the back of the chair. We sit straight, like we do when we eat. So I went back, I took back my position, and I said to myself, "Now or never, I'm going to be obedient to my elder, to great Father Ephrem." And he said, "Brother Alexander, go and pray, and I will pray for you." And I said, "God, help me." So I started to pray. With great fear, my heart started to beat strongly, and fear came there, as always in last year, in this very, very strange sensation that used to happen to me in this last year of my life in the United States and my first year of monastic life as a novice. So I prayed one prayer, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Second, third, fourth, fifth, and I realized this terrible pain doesn't rise up in my throat. There is no buzzing in my ears. There is no headache. I can pray. And still, I was still in a way of not believing what is happening to me. I thought it will just start right now, but it didn't. And then, after about 10 minutes, I understood it was gone. It went away. So really, the prayers of the Father Ephrem did great job. He really expelled those demons, those evil spirits from me. And With his spiritual help, I managed to pray for, after almost 1 year, having great and terrible struggle. So finally, after 15 and 20 minutes, I was sure that I was saved and freed from those chains that I was in. And then, unsatiably, I started to pray, like somebody who didn't breathe for a long time, and now he's trying to breathe, to fill his lungs with life-important oxygen, or somebody who didn't drink or eat for a long time, and now he's trying to bring back his strength. So I was praying like somebody who was half alive. And in this beautiful state of my mind, I continued through the rest of the service until the morning, until the Holy Liturgy. I received communion, and really, I thought that I was in paradise. And then the next day and several oncoming days, I was still in the monastery of Filotheo, doing my obedience, helping brothers in the kitchen, and praying all the time, unsatiably, being so thirsty and hungry for prayer. And I was really in a very good condition altogether. And I was very joyful and full of some kind of desire for life. For almost a whole year, I was without fears anymore, without dilemmas, and I thought the life is opening in front of me, and the monastic life is so beautiful, and with God's help, this is going to be my way for my whole life. And then I asked Father Efrem, and he told me I can go to Serbian monastery of Hilandar. And then finally, after almost 7 hours of walk, I arrived in the afternoon at the monastery, at the gate of the monastery of Hilandar. There I met a Serbian monk for the first time in my life, and he received me very politely, very joyfully, and he asked me where I'm coming from, and when I told him, he was, oh, interesting, an American Serbian coming from Mount Athos, visiting his monastery, Serbian monastery. So he introduced me to the abbot of the monastery. At that time, it was a very old monk called Moses. So Father Moses, I think he was more than 80, but he was very healthy and in good strength. But he was a very serious, not very talkative monk, and even somehow harsh. So he didn't even give me to kiss his hand. It was kind of very strange, but then I have realized, they told me that this is the way he's protecting himself. Because in Orthodox Christian monastic life, we have special kind of monks that they pretend that they're a little bit weird. Of course they are not. God knows their hearts. But being aware of God's grace and the gift of the Holy Spirit in them, they know if they talk too much, if they mingle with people too much, this grace withdraws, disappears, and then it's very painful. So this way they protect themselves. They play being a little bit crazy, but they are very sane. They are very sane and they are very holy. So this man was a little bit this way. At that time it was very strange to me, but then I realized what was it all about. So it was it's really the greatest sanctuary, the greatest holy place for Serbian people, the holy monastery of Hilandar. And I was walking around and visiting all those holy places in the monastery, venerating the wonder-working icons, the holy relics, and inquiring and learning about this very old, more than 800 years old monastery. 8 centuries Serbs are praying there for to God for salvation of their souls and for the salvation of the Serbian people and for the salvation of all people on this planet. So it was really all those visitations and events that I underwent on the Mount Athos. It was very, very helpful and very, very needful, very, very fruitful in a spiritual way for me, and very important. However, the whole thing with my spiritual combat was not finished yet. I thought it was, but it wasn't. So what happened? So now this a very critical and very special and intense moment of my life is now coming to be performed.
Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life.
So, what was it all about? So, the third day, the third morning of my stay in Monastery of Hilandar, I was in a morning service on Mount Athos, in Mount Athos monasteries. Especially in Serbian one, the morning services are pretty long and they start early in the morning. Serbs in a monastery of Hilandar especially like to wake up early in the morning and to serve slowly everything by the rules, by the church rules, by the monastic rules, all the way to the morning. And it usually every day lasts for about 4 hours. It starts around 2 o'clock in the morning and it lasts until 6:30. So it was still dark outside. I think it was like maybe 4 o'clock in the morning. And the service was on. It was very quiet. The light was dimmed. Only oil lamps were burning. And not all of them, of course, because it was an average day. It was not a feast day. I don't remember exactly what day it was, but it was a weekday. It was not Saturday or Sunday when the service is a little bit longer and more solemn. So I think it was Thursday. Anyway, it was around 4 o'clock in the morning and I was praying in complete peace, being plunged deep into myself in prayer and without any worry. And then, slowly, from far away, from the darkness of the cosmos, there started to roll, great dark wave from the farthest boundaries of the outer space, from the darkness of the outer space. This great, threatening, dark and terrible wave was rolling towards me, and I couldn't believe that this fear is coming back. I thought the elder healed me. He helped me. What is this going on all of a sudden? And again, but this time it looked the strongest as ever. This fear, terrible fear, was coming back to me. And at that moment, when it became almost immense, huge, filled the whole church, and pressing me down to the ground, there came a thought to me, and it told me, now you are mine. Now your elder is not here. He didn't heal you completely. Now you are mine. And be ready. Now you are going with me straight to hell. And you will never, ever go out from there. You are mine, and you will stay mine for whole eternity. And at that moment, the intensity of this fear was at its peak. And at that moment, I completely surrendered. And I thought to myself, I am finally lost. Everything is lost. I thought I was healed, but it's not. And now I am definitely conquered and destroyed. And at that moment, I came to the verge of my sanity. And there was only a particle of a second when I was ready to run out of the church, scream, jump, yell like a absolutely insane person, and of course I would be caught and taken to the city of Thessaloniki to some of the psychiatry clinics. But not, it didn't happen. In the very next particle of a second, from the other part, from somewhere else, the other wave, the other energy started to approach to me. But this time it was light, and it was incarnation of goodness, of love, of tranquility, of joy, and I just cannot explain. There are no words to explain this dark wave, and there are no words to explain this beautiful wave of light that was coming to me. And it was getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and just pushing away this dark wave, which was full of fear and trembling. And I have realized that something beautiful is happening, but I couldn't just follow at that moment what is really happening to me, because at that moment I was like a battlefield for some strange, strong powers. And this good power was coming to me, filling me more and more, and replacing this dark energy, which was just a few seconds before filling myself and trying to destroy me. And then I have realized that this new power, this new energy, this new way of light is incomparably stronger than this dark one, and it's conquering it, and it's filling me, and it brings me into the life. And at that moment, there was a saying of a priest. At that certain moment during the Orthodox Church morning service, the priest says, because, addressing of course to the Jesus Christ, he says, because you are the King of peace and the Savior of our souls. At that very moment, the Savior of the whole world, Son of God, Jesus Christ, came to me in a form of immense, huge wave of beautiful divine light, and helped me to conquer definitely my fears. And in this moment the priest said, because you are the King of peace and the Savior of our souls. And at that moment everything vanished. I mean, this bad feeling vanished, the fear vanished, and at that moment finally I have realized I was definitely healed. I was definitely healed, and it was just a culmination of the whole thing that happened several days ago with Father Ephrem. It was just a finishing, the whole thing, and God helped me. He didn't want me to help me at that moment with Father Ephrem, he wanted to show me that the evil power, the demonic power, is always present and it can always come back and fight with us. So it was a very good lesson to me, never to get too relaxed, never to think that I am the winner. The fight is always until our last breath. So then finally, that morning of my life, I was 33, it was 1993, it was September on Mount Athos, I was definitely healed from those torturing fears. Of course, later on in my life, for many times and through many temptations, I had those fears coming back and fighting me, but never, ever until this day, in that manner that was torturing me that one hellish, terrible year in the monastery of St. Tikhon of Zadonsk in Pennsylvania. So it was like a great victory, but not mine victory. The Jesus was the victor, and he helped me to realize that always I will be stronger in his name, that I will be always stronger, but with his help, never with my own help. And as he says in the Holy Gospel, you can do nothing on your own, but with God, with me, you can do everything. So my stay in Monastery of Hilandar was only 4 days. Why? Because at that time, the situation in the monastery was not that bright. It was that very tragical period of my people and of my ex-country, of my previous country, of my country which was called Yugoslavia, but ex-Yugoslavia. There was a great, terrible, bloody war in my country, in my homeland, although not in Serbia, but in other parts, in Bosnia, Herzegovina and Croatia. And the whole situation was very intense, under very terrible pressure, political and ethnical, and everything was very, very hard. And even in the monastery, this pressure was present. So I couldn't stand that. For me, I didn't care about wars, I didn't care about ethnicities, I didn't care about anything which was going on there. I, of course, cared for my people, I cared for all of those people in ex-Yugoslavia, but I didn't really want to hear and to listen about fights and battles and all those things. So I said, these 4 days were enough for me in Monastery of Hilandar, now I have to go back to Monastery of Filotheo. So I went back, and I have continued to live there, and almost sure that I will stay there and become a member of this monastery, a brother of the Monastery of Filotheo. So I stayed in the Monastery of Filotheo altogether 1 month, and then I left. Why? So what happened? At that time in the Monastery of Filotheo, there was a great construction work. They were installing the central heating in the monastery, and there was a lot of noise. Besides that, there was a lot of pilgrims, as in every other Attonite monastery, sometimes 50, 60, 70 every day. They're big monasteries with a lot of visitors, a lot of pilgrims. And all those things didn't really fit in my vision of my monastic life. I was looking for something more quiet, smaller. So in my trip towards Hilandar and coming back, I visited few smaller monasteries called skits or kelias or cells in English. Some of them were Serbian, some of them were not, but even there I couldn't find myself. With Greeks, it was really hard for me to learn Greek, a foreign language again. I was longing to pray and serve to God in my maternal tongue. But still, I could learn Greek, and I started to learn Greek in the Monastery of Filotheo anyway, but I couldn't find myself in those few monastic families that I visited. So I went back and I was thinking what I'm going to do. And then there were two Australian Greek guys, young men. They arrived and they just came from their tour around Balkan monasteries. They went to Romania, Bulgaria, Serbia, and they went around Greece, and finally they arrived at Mount Athos. So I met them, and since, of course, they were Australian speaking English, so I could acquaint with them, and we became kind of friends. They were nice two guys, a little bit younger than me. They were, I think, 29 30 and I was 33 at that time. And I have to say that finally I really celebrated my 33rd birthday, and it was 13th of September. So I was so happy to really to fulfill this longing of mine, my desire of mine. So in conversation with one of them became my Greek teacher. And then one day both of them were there in my cell, and they opened some kind of envelope, big envelope with full of photographs. And they told me, do you want to see the photographs from our trip from Balkan Monastery? I said, oh yes, of course, it would be a great pleasure to me. So I saw monasteries in Romania, in Bulgaria, in Serbia, and then finally there was a monastery in Kosovo, which was of course at that time, and it was always a part of Serbia. And in a Serbian monastery of Dečani in Kosovo, there was a monastery called Tall Dečani, Visoki Dečani. And there I have seen on those photos a monastery very much looking like one of those Etonite monasteries from Mount Athos. And I have seen also brothers over there looking in the same way like monks look in Mount Athos, completely the same vestments and everything. And I understood that it's basically the same thing, but not in Greek land, not in Greek language, but in Serbia. And there was a brotherhood, I think there was a not very big brotherhood, I think something like 13 or 14 of them. But it was my country, it was my people, Serbian people, and there was my native language, Serbian language. And at the same time, there was a great noise in the monastery of Filotheo, and the whole thing, and seeing these photographs, at that moment, there was an enlightening idea coming to my mind and told me, so why I don't go there? Why should I stay on Mount Athos if I have the same similar monastery over there, real monks over there, and it's not that far away from Mount Athos, and I can always come back if I don't like it over there. And that night I was thinking about it very seriously. I just couldn't even get asleep because it was very important, and I came to a very critical moment of my life, because I was almost sure I'm going to stay on Mount Athos. Maybe I was not sure in which monastery, but I was almost sure that I will stay at Mount Athos. But then this idea came up to my mind, saying to myself, go back to your homeland. Go back there. That's a place for you. Holy Mount Athos is holy, but your mission is to go back to your homeland. Then finally I fell asleep, went to the church, and next morning I was definitely convinced that I have to go to Serbia. I have to leave Mount Athos. And with this idea I went to the elder. Elder was available, he was free, he received me. And with the translator I told him, great elder, my beloved father, Ephrem, I feel that I have to go back to Serbia and to try to stay there and to become monk over there. Please, what do you think about it? And if you think it's good for me, please, I beg your blessing for it. And of course, I beg your blessing, if I do not like it over there, to receive me back. I will definitely come back if I do not find myself over there. And he said, of course, Brother Alexander, it's good for you to go back, to be with your people. And you can always come back here if you want, just to visit us or to come back to stay here for good. I was so glad, I was so happy, because he gave me his blessing, which meant that it's a God blessing. So in about 2 days, I was on my way towards Karies, this little village or little town, administrative little town in the center of Mount Athos, and I was on my way towards Serbia. I bought a ticket and I was bidding farewell to Mount Athos. About my trip to Serbia, to Kosovo, I will tell you in our next radio show called The Way, the Life, the Truth. Until then, goodbye and pray for me.
thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amphilochia.
I received communion, and really, I thought that I was in paradise.